Now we are going to go over some information about spirit guides, guardian angels, and ascended masters, archangels, and ancestors, and what is the difference between them. And our goal for our class tonight is to assist you in connecting more with your guides. So we'll be going over some information, and then we'll be doing a guided meditation. And I'm also going to point out that I have a video on my YouTube page that talks about the difference between spirit guides and angels and ascended masters, etc. And so you can look on there as well. It's the Maya's Oasis YouTube page. And I'll be sure to post that as well. Okay, so most of you have heard of guardian angels. And now more and more the term spirit guides has become more popular in New Age and metaphysical teachings. So there's a difference, though, and actually also ancestors. A lot of people get the three of those mixed up. So we're just going to take a few minutes to explain the difference. Guardian angels are, of course, from the angelic realm. Well, there's a lot of things. I'm not going to say from the heavenly realm, like you mentioned, because there's a lot of different beings in the other dimensions. And so I'm going to say that they're specifically from the angelic realm. They're angels. Whereas your ancestors, like your grandmother who passed on, she might be part of the heavenly realm now. She's on the other side, right? But she's not an angel. She's not, like, think of it as like human, angel, not the same thing. Different things. Different angel, types. Different.
Angel's never been human.
Different types of beings. What a lot of teachers say is that that angels have never been human. Now, so there's human beings, and once they pass on, then they're in spirit form, and there are ancestors then. So there are a lot of teachers who say that absolutely angels have never been human beings. Now, I'll tell you, though, I have a big question mark in my mind about that, because I have two spirit guides / guardian angels who do appear to me looking like angels, but they've also shown me a past life that we had together. And I know all about this interesting stuff that we did together. So I don't really know what that's all about. And a lot of the stuff dealing with the spiritual realm, we're not really going to know everything until after we die. So these are some, let's make sure this is going. So these are some general guidelines, but as with anything that we're learning in these classes, take it in, and if anything doesn't mesh with what's happening in your reality, then you can be open to shifting, right? So, but I would say most of the time when we think of our ancestors, someone in our family who passed on, a lot of people refer to like their grandmother, that they feel their presence as their guardian angel. But that's actually, that their grandmother is typically not actually an angel from the angelic realm. She is an ancestor who's acting as a guide. Okay? So we have our guardian angels who are assigned to us at birth or even before birth. and possibly even through multiple lifetimes. We don't really know. And so our guardian angel, we might have one, or we might have a couple, and that's up for debate also. And the job of our guardian angel is to support us. To support us. To assist us in our life. And author Doreen Virtue says that your guardian angel is not just part of spirituality, but a part of your physiology. Like being a human being, you have to have lungs, you have to have a heart, you have to have a brain, all these different things that you have to be in order for your physiology to function. She says you also, part of your physiology, that you have to have a guardian angel with you, assisting you. And she says she, every single person she has ever met has always had at least one guardian angel. She's never met a single person who's had none. So sometimes we might not know, feel, we might not feel their presence, or we might not know if they're near, but they're always with us. And then there's something called spirit guides. And spirit guides are beings from the other side that may have been humans, human beings, or may not. So they may have spent their entire existence over on the other side and never lived a human life. But they're not angels. They're spiritual guardians, spiritual guides who assist us. And many people do have a spirit guide who is with them for their entire life. And now this is my understanding. I feel pretty clear about this, and just see how this resonates with you. My understanding is that we have at least one guide, spirit guide, with us for our entire life. And then as we go through different cycles and phases in our life, additional guides will come in for that period of time. For example, if you decide to go back to school, you may have a new guide who suddenly enters into your life to assist you and support you during that cycle. Okay? And then, if you enter motherhood, then you have a new guide that wasn't with you before who comes in and assists you while your children are young, and so on and so forth. And they may not be with you permanently for your whole life, or they may come and go throughout different stages in your life. Your guardian angel, however, is with you through your whole lifetime. Now, you can also, let me backtrack. You have at least one guardian angel and a spirit guide that's with you for your whole life. And then you have, others that come and go and are essentially assigned to you, or they choose to come and work with you. But in addition to that, you can actively choose to call in specific angels that are for a certain thing, for a certain quality. Sorry about that. So, for example, as you're praying or working at your altar or sending Reiki, you can call in the angels of abundance or the angels of health. So they may not necessarily be your spirit guides, but you can call in any spiritual team at any time. They don't have to be part of your, I like using the word team, because you've got this whole team of awesome spiritual beings working with you. You don't have to just work with that group. You can outsource. You say, okay, I need some of this, and you just call it in. Okay. And then also, a lot of people work with archangels. And archangels, think of it as like the angels are the the angels, small a, are powerful and important and useful and all of that. And they work with the human race. The archangels are, if you think of it as like a hierarchy, they are higher up, like higher management, right? They're higher up. They're more powerful. They're more knowledgeable. So the angels are powerful. You can call on them. The archangels, if you have like a mega issue or dark energy that you want to get rid of, call in God's bouncers, the archangels. Those are the big guns. And this class isn't really about archangels today, but I just want to kind of touch on a lot of the terminology that's popular these days so that you can kind of get it clear in your mind. Okay. And then, so let's recap. So we have our guardian angels. You might have one or a couple with you for your lifetime or multiple lifetimes. And you have your spirit guide or spirit guides. And then there are your ancestors, which sometimes serve as guides for you if they're with you your whole life or they come and go. And then we have the really high vibration angels, archangels. If we were doing an angel class, I would talk about also the seraphim and the cherubim and all of the other types of angels, but we're not going to get into that today. There's also something called ascended masters. And these are beings who may or may not have lived in this human life. They may or may not have lived a human life, but they are very wise and very powerful. They're very high vibration beings. Some people say that beings like Jesus, Buddha, Mother Mary, there's a huge list, but those are the three that come to my mind, that they are ascended masters. They developed high mastery over the spirit, over energy and knowledge and spirituality. So you can call them in as well. But now we're going to, for our meditation today, we're going to get more simple. Instead of trying to call in like all these guides and angels and ascended masters and make it so complicated, what's really special is if you can develop a relationship with your guardian angel. And as I was preparing for class, I was still thinking, okay, well, I know I want the class to be about guides and angels, but I don't know. Do we want to do a meditation to connect with our guides or with our guardian angels? And then I mentioned earlier before the recording that when I went on my walk this morning, I clearly saw tons of angels congregating in the room, in this room where we're at right now, like a big meeting with like tons of angels. And I said, okay, well, there it is. So that's what we're doing. But then what I also saw was that there may be one or two people, either present or doing this later, who, instead of connecting with their guardian angel, are going to connect with their spirit guide instead. And that's okay. So whatever comes is totally appropriate and totally okay. And I forgot to mention this, but when we were talking about spirit guides can also come in the form of animals. Animal totems. And we'll do another class on that sometime in the future, I'm sure. So animal totems or animal guides. You can have plant teachers, plant guides. Your spirit guides can come in so many different forms. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about signs that your guides, that your angels are with you. Because I think that a lot of people really want, I use this phrase a lot, to see a big burning bush and have the booming voice of God, like, so that it's unquestionable. Like, it's definitely my spirit guide. But oftentimes, our guides and angels come through in a more subtle way. So let's brainstorm a little bit. What are some ways that your guardian angel can let you know that she or he is near? They could speak to you. Okay, so tell me, like, would they actually audibly speak to you, or what do you mean by that?
I have no clue.
Okay.
I'm just guessing.
Okay, well, let's expound on that.
They could actually say something to you.
Yes. So let's expand on that a little bit. So, yes, they can actually say something to you and give you a message. There's tons, like billions of stories, I'm sure, of people on the planet who've had, all of a sudden, they have heard something in their ear say, turn right. And then they find out later, since they turned right, that left, if they had turned left, there was like a big fire or some horrible accident or something like that. And that, if you ever have a moment where you hear something like that, that directs you to stay out of danger, that is most certainly your guardian angel. And not everybody will actually hear a voice, though. So the more common daily way that your angels will speak to you is in your mind. Receiving inspiration and information in your mind. For me, how it happens is I'm going through my day, and all of a sudden it feels like something literally drops into my head. It feels like it comes in here. It just goes flip out of nowhere. All of a sudden I'm like, I'm supposed to teach this da 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 class. Okay, I guess I'm supposed to do it. That's how I knew that I was supposed to start teaching a special Reiki master program, was because I was doing cleaning the house, and all of a sudden, okay, so that's it. I didn't hear a special voice outside of my head, but information dropped in. So that can be your guardian angel, or it can be your spirit guide, or it can even be an ancestor who's helping you. So there's other creative ways that our guardian angels connect with us. Does anyone know what they are? Sometimes if you find a feather, there are some people who really connect with their angels through finding feathers. Like, they say that they find feathers everywhere. I know there's at least one person in our group who attends via Skype sometimes, who that's one way that her angel connects with her, is finding feathers.
Like, I don't know what these are for, but there they are.
Yeah.
I say hi.
Yeah. So that's one way. And then another way is sometimes they'll leave pennies and coins on the ground. And another way that your guardian angels and also guides and ancestors all can communicate this way is through putting a certain song on the radio for you, like at just the right time. When you needed that inspiration, you turn it on and you go, oh, man. And then you start to cry, or you go down memory lane. Yeah. Any other ideas?
Sometimes you have people just appear in your life.
Yes. Sometimes a mysterious person just shows up and helps with something, or says just the right thing to you. And they don't know you from anywhere. I know. It gives me chills when you say that. Yes, and they just say the right thing. Or sometimes they step in during emergencies. Mm-hmm. I would say that the most common way that people connect with their angels is just a feeling that they are with you. Just a feeling. So that's subtle. in comparison to seeing a burning bush and hearing a booming voice, just feeling that comforting presence with you at different times, that is the most common way that they connect with you.
I had, after my grandpa died, he was the first person in my life I was really close to. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And my friend that I've known for most of my life gave me a card. And I'm curious if you've ever heard the dragonfly story, or there's a children's book about how they change in the water, and then they go up out the water, and you don't see the friends and family, don't see the change, but they change. And she gave that to me, and that day I saw a dragonfly. And it had like a tip of, I lived by a pond, so it may not have been, but it kept flying around my apartment. I mean, outside of my apartment, and I never see dragonflies. And that it was that day that his was a funeral, and it had like a tin of copper. He had red hair when he was younger. And so that just kind of, I don't know if that means anything, but that really, it gave me some peace, because I thought maybe it's not, but it was strange that it was just hanging around.
Yeah, so that's an example of one of your loved ones connecting with you. Definitely. And so animals showing up, definitely. And but the butterfly is another very common way that either our loved ones or our guides and angels can connect with us.
Do they ever kick you out of bed?
Do they ever kick you out of bed? No. Well, I don't know. Maybe they kick you out of bed, but they don't ever kick me out of bed. So I want to share a really quick story of something that happened just last week. I have billions of stories, but I'm going to share this. Thursday? Yeah, Thursday night, I listened to a really powerful healing recording, and afterwards I thought, wow, that was more powerful than I expected. It was something that was online. And I went to bed, and various things happened during the night, but I'm going to shorten the story and just say what happened in the morning. When I woke up in the morning, my alarm went off and I hit the snooze button, and then I drifted back. I closed my eyes and I started to fall back to sleep. And I actually was like kind of in that middle zone, and I heard a voice outside, not in my head, but outside, and it was clear as day. It was clear as a bell, and it said, "Hello," and it was a woman's voice, and it was very bright and cheery and friendly. And I know that it was not in my imagination, and there was no one outside. It was clearly, I know that it was right by my head. And so that is something that happens a lot to people, not necessarily to hear hello, but a lot of times people will hear their name being spoken. And I think another guide or something is trying to communicate with me also, because yesterday and a couple days before that, yesterday I was sitting at my computer and I was working, and all of a sudden I heard, "Hey." Like they were trying to get my attention. I looked, I was like, okay, I know that I heard that. Now that auditory stuff, when I work with you all in sessions and I say I heard something, I almost always will hear it in my mind. Like I know that it's definitely correct information. I'm hearing it. I know how the intuitive information feels to me, but it's a whole different thing when you're hearing it in the room. And so because of that really strong energy upgrade that I had last week, or that session that I listened to, all of a sudden all this auditory stuff is happening. And it's actually really good. So very friendly, except for, hey, listen, hey. I need to not play with those necklaces. So that's one way that your guides can connect with you. So if you ever mysteriously hear someone call your name, and then you look around and you're like, there's no one here, or you know, what's going on, most likely it's your spirit guide or guardian angel. And if you've ever changed your name in your lifetime, sometimes they call you by the name that you were given when you were young. I've had that happen. They don't always switch over and call you by your new name if you change your name. So sometimes people can feel like they're having difficulty connecting with their guides. So let's brainstorm a couple of things that you can work on even after this class. So what are some ways that that you can connect with your guides? Are there any ways that you can think of? And I've got my list I can go over, but I thought I would see if anyone has anything on the top of their mind. Okay, so basically, one of the first things that you want to do is just simply pay more attention. Like if your guides or angels are trying to connect with you by sending you feathers, and you're just so tied up in your day and you're busy, or you've got a lot of drama in your head, or your brain is so full thinking about stuff, you aren't even going to notice the feather on the ground or floating down, or the penny, or the song that comes on the radio, or that they're trying to say your name, but you've got the TV on all the time, or whatever, you know, whatever. So creating space to pay more attention. And don't just write off these situations as nothing. The most common thing that people do is something valid happens, but they say, oh, it was probably nothing, or oh, it was all in my head. Yeah. Maybe it was in your head. Maybe it was nothing, but maybe it wasn't. So I would suggest at least acknowledging the possibility that it was something instead of totally writing it off. So paying attention. And then the other thing that you want to do is work on ways to quiet your mind. Use methods that help you quiet your mind, quiet down the monkey mind. And those ways could include meditation, visualizations, quiet prayer. So the kind of meditation where you just quiet your mind, or even guided meditations like CD audio recordings.
Mm-hmm. Oprah.
Oprah?
Deepak. Meditation.
Oh. Right. The Deepak Chopra meditations.
They're going to do another one coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so any ways that you can quiet your mind, even like going and just sitting quietly in nature, anything at all that's going to just quiet your mind, breathing, slow breathing, not activating fire breathing, but just slow breathing. Another thing that you can do to connect with your guides is work with your dreams. Those of you who are getting ready to start Module 5, that which I'm going to send to you, I'm going to send all the module links to you next Tuesday from when I'm recording this. So there's lessons on all about dreams. And so I'll teach you how to work with your dreams. And dreams are a real easy way for your guides to connect with you because your analytical mind is out of the picture. So you can see your guides, you can hear them. And also when you're just falling asleep and just waking up is prime time for them to be able to connect with you. And then there's one other method, and it's called automatic writing. And there's two kinds of automatic writing. There's the kind where you may have seen this on the movies or TV, where the person goes into a trance and they just start writing and they have no idea what they're writing. But the kind that I'm talking about, and if you can do that, then great, go with it. But most people, their automatic writing is where they're aware of what they're writing. So you can write down a question for your guide or angel, like, I'm needing assistance with this in my life. And then just start writing the answer. Don't tell yourself that it's all in your head, that you're making it up. Just start writing. It's called stream of consciousness writing. You just write whatever comes out of your pen, whatever comes through your mind, you just write it down without judging it. And this was one way that I really started connecting with my guides a lot more about 5 years ago. I would sit out in nature at the place where I used to live, and I would write down questions and like stuff about life, like, you know, job. And like, I'm having an issue with this. What should I do? And, or, you know, and then they would share their perspective. I say they, because I usually would connect with two different ones. And they would share their perspective, like, well, this is the course of action that you should take, or this is what's really going on that you didn't know about. So you just start writing. So those are some methods that you can practice after class, after you leave this class. Any questions? So why would you want to connect with your guides and guardian angels? What's in it for you? To develop a relationship with them. That's good. But why would you want to develop a relationship with them? What's in it for you? They can help you. Life is hard sometimes. It's good to have help. I'd say that's the best answer. Yeah.
I like the idea of having a relationship with them, because one of the things we do in Aikido a lot is simply connect with the universe as an end in itself. And that is... And that gets us beyond the mind that wants to solve everything, always has another problem. So I think that's a really...
Yes, having a relationship just for the sake of having a relationship. And I agree very much with that. Yeah.
How do you turn off the mind? Mind goes nonstop.
Read the book.
My answer for you is grounding. I think the answer would be different. So Joni's question was, how do you get the monkey mind to stop? And I think the answer might be different for each person who might have that question. But for you, it's all about grounding. More grounding. More earth time. Yeah. And so a lot of people try to ground by using mental visualizations. But sometimes we try to use thinking, our thinking mind, to solve something that's more, that's really... The solution should be energetic. And so just going and being on the earth, not thinking about now I'm grounding. That's still using your brain. So that's my unique answer for you. Some people are able to ground by guided thinking about it, right? But more often than not, just don't use your brain to try to not use your brain.
I spend my day walking around with my grounding stones.
Yeah, but I think you need like multiple hours outside. And I know you might feel like you don't have enough time right now, but even just an hour once a week and see how that helps, and then see if you can increase that sometimes. Yeah.
I think Hitesh thought this was very important for
she. Could be. She is Hitesh the Reiki cat. Okay, we're almost done. We're going to do a brief introduction to your guides. And since this is recorded, do you mind if she's stepping in your bag?
No, I love it that she's walking on my weekly schedule.
We're going to do a guided meditation, and it's going to be audio recorded. And I'm going to press stop in here in just a second, and then press play at the very beginning of the guided meditation, so you can listen to this again later. And it's only about 5 minutes. And then we'll do our closing.